Looking for something to cheer you up in these dark economic times? Try Knit Princess, the most popular online comic about knitting ever created. The best part? It's 100% free. Read all about Princess's problems with unemployment, the cat that's slowly driving her crazy, and her exasperated roommate who just doesn't get Princess's desire to live in a world surrounded by yarn. Go to knitprincess.com and catch up and tell all of your knitter friends. We know you have knitter friends.
We're everywhere.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 111 of the Webcomic Beacon, here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of fessworks.com, and with me, just one co-host today, it's Mark Savory of autumnlake.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
That's right, Tanya is out for right now, and... Well, it seems that we had to record a little bit later today, and it's quite possible that some people are missing the show live as well. But usually we record at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can check out where we record at webcomicbeacon.com/live. We also broadcast on Ustream sometimes, too. So go ahead and check that out. And it looks like we got the chat going, and hopefully... people didn't miss out on too much. Let me just type to them real quick. Okay, there we go. So let's see here. The subject for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon is that we're going to be talking about a character called Octobriana. Some people may be somewhat familiar with Octobriana. We've mentioned her a little bit back on the Jenny Everywhere podcast. I think that was episode 20. And while somewhat similar, they are very different in style and design. And so this is the Octobriana podcast. And with us, we have a couple of guests. First off, we have Steve Orlando from, he's doing a Kickstarter project right now, trying to create an Octobriana comic book of his own design. Welcome, Steve.
Hello.
And in addition to that, we have... have a Pilipe from an Octobriana fan blog. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, greetings from Prague, ahoy.
Well, welcome all. And so we're going to take a look at what I want to do is I want to look at who Octobriana is and how she got created. Who wants to field this?
I can definitely field that. Because that was actually how I came to find out about the characters, writing a thesis on her for college. Well, that's kind of a complicated question as it begins with, because if you go by the book Octobriana and the Russian Underground, she was created by Pyotr Sadecki. But there's also word that she was basically cannibalized from an older character called Amazona and basically put together... As a hoax, and brought to America as this underground comic book character that may or may not have ever existed in Russia. Now, the reason I don't really care about that and what my thesis was about is that though it may have had a false beginning, she really has taken on the public domain, non-copywritten type of usage and become the entity that he wanted, whether what he says happened. But yes, originally she was created by Pyotr Sadecki. So he says when he infiltrated a group called the People's Progressive Pornography that supposedly existed in Russia, there was harsh sexual legislation there, and they would reportedly have extremely secret meetings with print-only, nondescript pamphlets and flyers where they would essentially show up and rebel against sexual legislation by having sex and making... different kinds of pornography, pornographic writings, pornographic paintings, many of which the focal point was Octobriana. She sort of became their symbol of sexual expression and sexual freedom. Sadecki claims to have somehow gotten lucky and infiltrated this group and sort of scuttled this material away, where he published the book Octobriana and the Russian Underground in America. That's his story. Of course, possibility is also true, as has been proven by comparing some of the Octobriana work to some other works with Amazona, that he kind of redrew some small parts and created all for profit. Now, again, I don't care about that because the idea is incredibly wonderful behind it, and she's essentially taken on the role that he wanted, or at least claimed to want, either way, in the past 30 years.
Okay, so a sort of adaptation, essentially, it sounds like, but it, you know, I guess you still created a new character out of that anyway.
Well, the idea, of course, with her is that she's available. It's kind of like Jenny Everywhere, which I've read about a lot and kind of not. The idea with Jenny Everywhere being that she has this power that she can exist in any storyline, in any continuity, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Octobriana, not exactly the same. The character doesn't have to be uniform within, it doesn't have to be anything, essentially. She, you know, Sadecki states in the book that she's the ultimate communist character. She's not copywritten, and people can do with her what they want. And people have, you know, she shows up in all sorts of weird places. Billy Idol has a tattoo of her. There
really?
Was a strange Swedish movie called Octobriana and the Finger of Lenin. I think it was Swedish. I'm not sure. That was
Finnish. Finnish.
Sorry. Live action, gosh. And, you know, other strange places. David Bowie almost made a movie about her in the 60s or 70s. So she shows up in weird places. Doesn't have to be necessarily the same character, just the same idea. For me, that idea has always been freedom and expression, and that's why I made her the goddess of passion in my story. But and not exactly the same as Jenny Everywhere.
Well, no, but kind of like the idea where you can kind of use the character. I mean, when I first started doing research on Jenny Everywhere, which was like a few years ago, Octobriana was brought up because somebody was looking for an open source character or something like that. Not merely just an expired copyright that became public domain, but, you know, something that was specifically created for other people to use, and Octobriana was one of those that was first brought up, but I really couldn't find a whole lot of information on it. And a lot of, like what you were saying, it was kind of like the beginning, when it's kind of like, well, yeah, but kinda, and, you know, it wasn't entirely clear. And so, but it's still an interesting character, and in the design of what it is that it was created for other people to do things with, especially for more so in Brianna's case, for, you know, expression, essentially.
And she does that in some cases. I know the main work before I got into it, which has, there's been a couple of small things. There was a series I think came out, I mentioned, in the early 90s out of Britain by Brian Talbot. And that was her main thing. It was definitely more of a superhero type of story than I'm doing. But she originally was very much like a spy, superpowered, superheroic type of character, very much the Cold War era, you know, fighting giant volcanic walruses and things like that.
That sounds awesome.
That, if you saw the book, that actually happened. She fights, it's called like the Atomic Colossus.
The Living Sphinx.
The Living Sphinx. I'm so happy to remember these because the book isn't in front of me. but it turns out to be an enormous walrus, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Her original adventures are great. It's like something that, you know, that Grant Morrison sleep wrote or something. It's strange enough that anyone would love to lay claim to them today, with her riding these packs of buffalo and, you know, into the steppe and things like that. It was always very 60s and 70s sci-fi epic, even back then.
Mm-hmm. What year was this that you were talking about? I wasn't sure if you mentioned it. Like when she was coming out and developing?
Well, again, that... And you guys might have an idea, but that's the thing, because if you believe the story, then it was happening in the 60s. If you don't believe the story, then I think the book came over here in like 72 or 74, 1971, I believe. But of course, that depends. Was Peter Sadecki living in the USSR and stealing away these notes, or was he cannibalizing something back then? Who knows? But it was the 70s that it laid down to print. Either way,
the creation of her has kind of that mystique to it as well, which is kind of interesting. You know, very rebellious in either way, especially if it's true and such. But let's move over to Pilipe for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And as far as whenever I've looked for like Octopriana information, it's usually been a lot of like really old sites, not updated in a long time, or there's even a bunch of dead links to old GeoCities pages that just don't exist mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. I think you added me on Twitter, and then I ended up finding that, oh wow, an Octopriana blog that actually updates mm-hmm. with some stuff. So you've probably been cataloging everything that you could find on Octopriana.
Yeah, that's pretty much my the thing I'm doing now. Yeah, like a hobby, trying to find what's published and the news and everything about Octopriana on the net. I was glad to find the Steve comics. It's the big event, I think, for this year.
Awesome. More than this year, Pilipe. It's already been 2.5 years since I started printing this out.
Yeah, sorry, it's correct. Yeah.
So when did you start this blog, and started noticing Octopriana?
The first time I found a post on the Prague Post, a newspaper, in November 2008, and I was kind of interested in the character for many reasons, because of the character Petr Sadecki, who was the inventor of Octopriana, like Steve was saying, and the way he was kind of pushing her from her origin from Amazonas, that was originally done by other Czech artists, to put them Octopriana in the Occident, and changing her name and inventing stories so to make her more attractive. And so I started my blog in July 2009, which is kind of recent. But then I tried to contact a few people, like John Short, who was doing the comic in the 90s, after Brian Talbot did in the 80s, pretty much. And I was very happy to have some answer back from this legend, to start a dialogue with them. So then I was kind of encouraged to continue the blog and receive good feedback. So that's pretty much how I continue to do this blog.
Well, awesome.
Have either of you heard from the original guy who
reportedly
created the character?
Yeah, he unfortunately died in 1999.
I was going to say, I haven't heard anything, but I didn't even know about the character while he was alive.
Yeah. He was going to Germany. That's the last place he was, I guess. He died probably in Germany from cancer, I think.
Oh.
It looks like Tanya Higgins just popped online. That's our third co-host normally.
Maybe she can join us.
I'll send a message and see if she's... Are you joining us? You've missed a lot already. While we try to figure this out, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about Octopriana.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
Oh, Tanya had the wrong time on her calendar, so let's bring her in. I actually almost set my alarm for an hour later because I'm central and not eastern.
Hello.
So I might have showed up late for the own podcast. Hey, Tanya. How's it going?
Peachy. I'm glad you Twittered because, I had it written down as 7 o'clock.
I told him to tweet because he wouldn't otherwise.
All times
are also technically proficient. I had to download Skype for this meeting.
Hello. I'm terribly sorry that I am this late. It was not my intention. I was not.
Right. Tanya, I'm going to send you a couple of links.
Okay.
First off, the link I gave you is to a Kickstarter project by Steve Orlando, which is the first person we have on here.
Okay.
And the other person is Pilipe from this Blogspot link to Octobriana, which is, I guess, the most current keeping up with stuff that's happening like with Octobriana, kind of like how I am with the Shifter Archive and Jenny Everywhere.
Okay.
Now, Fess, I should tell you, the project is launching, we're raising money on Kickstarter, but the book is actually coming out from Pozur Inc., which is a small press publisher.
Okay.
It doesn't make a big deal, actually, but the link I'll probably give if you want to direct people, since the Kickstarter link has a bunch of numbers that no one will remember in it unless you post it with the actual...
It will be posted with the actual...
Oh, show. I was going to say that, because there's no way me reading that off is going to mean anything with that... But anyway, there is PozurInc.com as well. They're the guys that are publishing it. It's going to get published either way. It's just going to be easier if we raise the money on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I want to mortgage my nothing.
Mortgage your nothing. I love it.
I want to take another loan out on that class ring.
So Tanya, basically what we talked about already, since we had to catch you up with us a little bit, is kind of like the origins of Octobriana. The sketchy origins, apparently, that the creator may or may not have ripped it off a little bit from like another existing character. But essentially, the character that exists today kind of came out as he supposedly wanted. It's a lot of that. So if you want to go ahead and listen to that. Aside from that, do you have any questions before we continue? Tanya? Is she gone? Oh, don't tell me she got dropped. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, such a terrible connection.
After I went through that little explanation. So, Tanya and I try to figure this out. Steve, why don't you just... tell us about the Kickstarter. Tell us a little bit about what Kickstarter is, and then go into what your project is.
Gladly. Is the show is happening again?
Yeah, I record as much as I can.
Oh, right on.
In a meta 60 sort of way, we're happening.
I like that. Okay, so Kickstarter and what the project is?
Yes.
I can definitely do that. Well, the project, it's easier to start with that. After doing my thesis, which, as I noted, was actually about how Octobriana had become modern folklore despite the sketchiness of her beginnings, I couldn't really get away from the character, and since I've been doing comics for other things for a while, I decided I had to do something with it. What was I going to do that made it topical for today, as opposed to something that was outrageous? You know, back in the 60s, it was outrageous to show whatever they were showing, but this is 2007 at that time, so things had to be different, and I decided I wanted to update her a little bit, and I also want to put in some other little notes about weird Soviet things that maybe only I knew or a couple people knew about because I had picked them up when I lived in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I wanted to make her the goddess of passion. This was partially because I have a literary crush on Neil Gaiman and always wish that I could have made the Sandman, so my sort of version of the Endless is a Russian woman with a huge bust that can interact with the sort of flow of passion and things like that. But I had to make it a little more because the other key point of the story was that I was going to put in this real life Soviet figure named Luba Kulagina, who may or may not have had telepathic and telekinetic powers. Probably didn't, of course, but they were the Soviets, so they put her in a science city for a long time and had her try to make rabbits' heartbeats in jars and things for her whole life. She was a real person. So I decided in my mind, I had this other story about her where she was going to be having a romance with this guard in the jail, all in their minds. And through that, she became the perfect villain for the story. When they finally put her lover out of his misery for finding out this heinous thing that he had been doing with this freak. And she takes her revenge on all of Russia by unleashing this telepathic plague as basically her last sanction before she supposedly dies, where anyone who is in coitus goes from being in the height of passion and lust to a murderous rage. Now, of course, this would be really fun for people to draw, so that was also my point, but it would also connect to why Octavriana would want to go after this, because as the goddess of passion, there's almost nothing she can see as a bigger affront than this thing which is spoiling her very purpose, that thing which she's about so much.
Right.
And so that sets the two characters on a collision course with each other. On the backdrop of, I also wanted to weave in other things about paganism in Russia, which is still on and off seen in their superstitions and things that I saw when I was over there. So I wanted to make her a goddess of the people, and I wanted to give her not necessarily anything to punch. I wanted her to be a different kind of hero. There's nothing for her to really hit in the story to solve things. Although she does do some action-y things, but she can't beat Luba with her fists. And that's what sort of made it my type of Octavriana story, because she definitely has the physical prowess you see in the Sadeki stories, but she's got to use her head. She's really has to become that symbol of sexual expression. I took it and made it actually her power, as opposed to just her metatextual ability. I gave her the power in the story. How it comes over to Kickstarter is that I finally, after going through some publishers, went to my friends at Pozur Inc., who I've known from Comic Cons and things like that, and are pretty rad. And I said, look, I've got this character that was brought up with a history of underground zines, so it's right in line with what you guys do. And it's about sexual expression and sexual freedom. And to boot, I've got the artist of Animal Man with Grant Morrison attached. And his work is out of this world that he's doing for it. And they said they were interested, and I really am happy being with them as opposed to my old publisher, which doesn't need to be mentioned, because ideologically the book has a much better home with Pozur and what they're doing. We decided we were going to try out Kickstarter, which is a website that raises funding for books and publishing or creative projects, while giving incentives for donations. So it's essentially a money up front, get something later or immediately, depending on what your donation is type of system. You donate a dollar, you can have access to exclusive content, and anything from $5 up to $100 gets you different goodies. $100 getting you a signed piece of original art by Chaz Drurok, which I think is a pretty good deal. But either way, it's encouraging to people who want to fund creative endeavors. At the same time, they're not just giving money. They're getting something back, whether it's a dollar or whatever they're getting. They're getting something for their support. And, you know, the idea behind it also backs up what I'm doing with the book, just because I really like the idea of doing a book for the people. I wouldn't even want to make money off the book if I didn't need it to distribute it. It's not really in line with the character, but also the modern day facts are that I need money to get it out to people.
Right.
You know, I would love it if I could do some underground zine printing on it and get it across the nation. But unfortunately, I need Diamond Comics for that. So that is the reality. But, you know, through and through, it's been the right place for the character. And it's been, after working and studying the character so much, it's been really pleasing for me to draw in my own experiences when I lived in Russia and my own little interests about paganism and magic and weave them together with her. And it really shows how applicable she can be in a lot of situations.
Right. And of course, well, do you have any plans of going on convention trips or such? And, you know, pimping and selling the comic and exposing the character to other people there.
I plan to pimp as much as possible. you know, I know that the guys at Pozur do a lot more cons than me. They also live much closer. Like, I live in Syracuse, which is close to nothing.
What state is it? Wait, where do you live?
That's New York. What state is it?
Syracuse, New York. It's the it's the second most overcast city in the U.S. Anyway. And
I don't get out much.
Yeah, it's great. So anyway, it encourages me to write a lot because there's no reason to go outside. But Anyway, they live in San Diego, so, and I will also be appearing at San Diego Comic Con. We have two booths there. I have mine for my self-publishing effort, which is House Spirit Press, and they will also be at Comic Con with Azure Inc. They'll be at Emerald City Comic Con and WonderCon as well, and they'll have promos from this book, promos from their books. I'll have promos for the book, and definitely previews of the what we have in progress. The book is, as I said, I wish I could show more, you know, without giving people an incentive to pick it up when it comes out, because Chaz's work is just getting better. He's halfway through issue three, and I kind of make it a contest with him to pick out some strange shit for him to draw, and every time I think that I've got him, he keeps doing it, so I have to keep trying harder with strange things for him to match. But yeah, like, we'll be doing that, and there's the potential chance that I'll be doing New York City Comic Con as well, since I'm over here on the East Coast.
Right.
And I will appear at the Syracuse Heroes Expo, but that's kind of like, you know, in the back of a 7-Eleven. But if you're in Syracuse, I will be there. I also stock my books locally as well at stores here, of which there are three. I might as well give a shout out if anyone from Syracuse is listening. My comic store, my local comic store, is Comic Zone. you know, and the other stores don't matter.
When are the all four of the comics slated to come out, or to be available, actually?
Well, we are tentatively looking to launch towards the end of the summer or fall, but again, this all depends on what happens with Kickstarter, because we're, I mean, mini comics are going to be printing before then for the individual issues. Now, the trade is what's up in the air. The mini comics will be available at shows and conventions and on the website, which is okay. PozureInc.com. But the trade, we are really looking to solicit and distribute through Diamond as well, because we've got a lot of extra material we're putting together for the trade, and it's going to be a beefy little nugget. However, we need to get it out there. And that is up in the air depending on what happens with Kickstarter and where we can find funding for it. But it's all right. Definitely going to happen. Like I said, mini comics will be printing and available at shows this summer, likely, and okay. in the fall. And the trade we are hoping for this year. I'm working on backing material for it now, and I'm going to publish. In addition to it, there'll be... of course, pinups. We're looking into reprinting some of the original Sadecki material in there, as well as I'm going to have all the analytical work I've done with the character in the trade.
Can you do that? Print somebody else? Print somebody else's stuff, or what's
that's why I'm looking into it. That comes into a lot of questions. I want to find out because I would like to. I'd like to do it because not many people see the book. But of course, if there's no copyright on it, I may be able to. Right. If there is, obviously, you could still pay the rights for it. And if the whole thing is stolen, then I'm not sure it matters. But like I said, ideally, there's some really wild stuff in there, and I'd like more people to see it.
Okay,
I'm unaware where the rights to that material lie, but we're looking into it. And we're also doing a CD to support the character as well with musicians either that are inspired by Octobriana. Or music that I feel is thematically connected to her as well, which will include some Russian-only tracks that hopefully won't alienate too many people.
That sounds very cool. There's a convention coming up in Troy, Michigan. I mean Michigan's nowhere special, but
Minnesota.
No, I have a friend from Michigan. She says it. Yeah. And anyway, there's this convention that's called PenguinCon that's there. And it originally started as an open source code, Linux convention. And now it's expanded into more. And especially the webcomic presence in there is increasing a lot. And so, you know, the Webcomic Beacon crew is going to be there. I'm going to be there with Jenny Everywhere and such. I'm trying to get some other people to go as well. But this is... let's see, April 30th to May 2nd. I'm not sure if you'd be able to go to that, but if you have any like flyers or things that I could sell for you at this convention with Octobriana or anything, you can certainly email me and we can, you can mail me some stuff and I can see what I can do there, at least, you know, some cards or flyers because, you know.
I'm sure we will have material for you. I we'll also probably be getting a barrage of texts or emails based on that, because I know my editor's listening. We'll definitely have some stuff for you there.
That sounds awesome. You know, I'm all about promoting stuff like this, and it does sound like a great concept, and it sounds very interesting. I would really like to see some of that earlier stuff as well. And speaking of earlier stuff, Palipe, are you still with us?
Yeah, I was listening. Yep.
Once again, thanks very much for staying up late or getting up early, whatever it is. So you have this this blog in which you're looking for some stuff, looking for Octobriana related items of interest. In like the past, you know, ever since you started, how often would you say you find something?
Every month, basically.
Okay. Is it mostly just art, or do you actually get some stories?
Yeah, that's mostly art. I would say, like, for example, the illustration I found on DeviantArt.com, or like last time I had very, very good surprise. I found Sean Bryan, who was working with John Short, who posted the excellent pages of a comic that was never published, with Octobriana and the Beatles. Was pretty interesting stuff. Because Octobriana being from the 70s, there's so many flashbacks you can have, and that's very funny.
Let's see. So is the earlier stuff? I believe you're Brian Talbot, or what was the earlier stuff you're talking about?
The Brian Talbot is the one with Luther Arkwright.
Right.
And Sean Bryan, that's the one with I found, I think, 2 months ago.
Are any of these really even older ones? Are they just merely out of print? Or do they even exist as scans?
Yes,
you know,
it's very difficult to find some of these older magazines. That's right. It's very difficult. Like, for example, the Octobriana and the Russian Underground from the first edition is like very, very difficult. You can pretty much have a copy for around $50, something like that.
I had to buy it with a college stipend, actually. It was way out of my price range.
Yeah, for me too. Yeah, but it's the starting point, so you never know. I was expecting more comics in this book, actually. That's funny, because it's only the last like 20 pages which contains comics. Otherwise, it's only text, basically, about the background, political progressive party and stuff like that, and explanation which are maybe true or not true. You never know, actually, with Peter Sadecki. It's so funny because he invented so many things. His imagination has no limit, actually. Every time I'm reading his scenarios he was mentioning in there, it's a crazy thing, like an army of headhunter that was supposed to invade the United States or something like that. It's very, very crazy.
Well, awesome.
Well, this giant walrus, the
volcanic walrus.
Volcanic walrus is pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's the
Steve, you were mentioning earlier about some of the more provocative.
There is an excerpt in the book I was wondering if Palipe was going to bring up that Sadecki mentions in one episode that is sadly not illustrated. They've lost the art. She allows herself, and Palipe, I may be remembering only partially correctly. She allows herself to be captured by Nazis and taken into a Nazi camp.
No
weapons, and then when they find it inside and has no weapons, she produces a bomb from her vagina and blows up the whole camp.
Always knew them things were dangerous.
I specifically remember this because in my thesis, it was the only time I got to use the phrase anti-ovum, because instead of bringing life, they bring death.
And death.
I had another great phrase besides anti-ovum, but like I think that was probably my favorite one for it. But yeah, she does some strange things.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that is just.
She does seem like a strange cross between Wonder Woman and Uncle Sam, the Uncle Sam character from DC Comics, who who
freedom fighters. Oh yes.
Yeah, and sort of like in the last decade or so, they've made him more and more and more mystical.
Well, he was the Patriot for a while when Ostrander and Mandrake were doing the Spectre, and he got really weird, and he had like a glowing face. I also have a useless encyclopedic knowledge of DC continuity, as I'm about to get into. But yeah, he's become more and more like that, even though they put him back in the old Uncle Sam costume. instead of having it like a super 90s design with a hologram face.
And shoulder pads!
Lots of shoulder pads. I specifically remember the last time I've seen him show up, besides Infinite Crisis, he was punching out Superman on the cover of an Ed McGuinness and Jeff Loeb Superman comic. And I think there was a piece of pie on it too, which was pretty great.
This sounds off. That's, I don't know if that's awesome or terrible, but,
Well, you know, I mean, anything where Superman saying, apple pie without cheese is like a hug without a squeeze, is great. That does happen, by the way. I don't know what issue that is, but it's, it's probably from about 5 years ago because he had the post Our World at War Black Superman logo.
Okay.
But that's all I remember. Either way, he definitely loves apple pie with cheddar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, mom, the flag, and apple pie, I guess.
But not enough because Uncle Sam punches him out.
Well, I guess. I'm not too familiar with Marvel or DC trades, really.
Freedom Fighters are awesome. I stopped buying them. I haven't bought regular comic books in several years, but I was definitely getting. I really enjoyed that one.
They are home to some of the strangest, one of the top two strangest superhero origins in my mind for legit characters. I'm not talking about characters Garth Ennis created, like Dog Welder. the Ray in the Freedom Fighters gained almost godlike light projection and control powers from a hot air balloon accident. That just...
Yep.
okay.
The original Ray, yeah.
Yeah, no, the original, not his son. His son is legit, but yeah. And then, of course, my other favorite, I'll just go into why Golden Age origins are ridiculous. The Wizard from Marvel had a yellow costume and gained super speed from an injection of mongoose blood. I'd like to recap that both of those origins, all you really get is death.
Pretty much.
Oh boy. Yeah, like I said, I'm not much on trade comics yet. Next week we're planning to have Linkara on, or the week after next week, who does Atop the Fourth Wall comic book reviews, if anybody's seen that, since he reviews trades. So let's see. Is there anything? We got to close this off a little bit, and our last segment is going to be basically a short news segment. So, is there anything that we haven't covered that we should cover of Octobriana?
I just actually got a message from my editor, and the trade is looking, if Kickstarter goes good, to actually be coming out in the spring. So that is the true date for it. As well, it's topical that you like Jenny Everywhere, and I've actually decided because. I've decided these two characters have to meet, so if the trade happens, there will be backup material featuring both Jen Everywhere and Octobriana.
Awesome.
I don't know what they're going to be doing yet. It won't be like her liberating the Nazi camp, but it will be pretty good. And, like I said, there will definitely be news and mini comics and material galore. I might even make hoodies if I can make something pretty sweet with it for Comic-Con International in San Diego. There will definitely be a veritable barrage of stuff if I have anything to say about it there. That is pretty much what I have to say about that. There'll be I'm thinking about doing a litho with Chaz, some of Chaz's work too, but we'll see. The big push is definitely going to be Comic-Con and then the fall upcoming.
Right. Well, Palipe, is there anything else that you would like to add yet before we get going?
I was delighted to hear that there will be some cooperation with Jenny Everywhere and Octobriana. That's good stuff, I think. Yeah,
I am a sucker for crossovers myself, so. So, all right. Well, everyone who's been listening to the show, these links will be provided in the show notes. So go ahead and check out and support the Octobriana Kickstarter program. And, of course, check out the Octobriana blog so you can scroll through the archives and see what's there. Otherwise, there's some information on the Wikipedia page, of course. But, of course, a lot of information has already been talked about on this show. So, excellent, excellent. We're gonna finish this segment of the show, and then when we come back, we'll just do a short news segment. So I would like to say, Steve, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And Pailipe from Prague, thank you very much for coming on at this late.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the evening. And the show should be up in a couple of days. And I'll send you a link as soon as we're done as well. We're going to take, like I said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
Looking for something to cheer you up in these dark economic times? Try Knit Princess, the most popular online comic about knitting ever created. The best part? It's 100% free. Read all about Princess's problems with unemployment, the cat that's slowly driving her crazy, and her exasperated roommate who just doesn't get Princess's desire to live in a world surrounded by yarn. Go to knitprincess.com and catch up and tell all of your knitter friends. We know you have knitter friends.
We're everywhere.
I have not uploaded a pre and or after show, I think, since episode 101 or 102.
Hmm.
Just because I'm I don't know. I probably should, but I'm trying to get people to show up to the live show a little bit more often.
Work it, people. Work.
So let's see here. Let's see what we got. Not a whole lot of people on the chat room. Well, not for the
few in the talk stream.
Well, it is kind of late too. We got a few in the talk show. All right, so we have news to cover, and let's take a look here.
Yeah, milestones, do we not?
I'm double-checking on that right now, but first off, I believe this show is sponsored. I have to double-check with the person who may be sponsoring this. But looking at the main page, we have at our Project Wonderful Ads, which we go through each time we record. So if you're the high bidder, when we record the podcast, we review The American Regent of Project Wonderful Things, because I'm not about to read 12 ads. So just the three ads, because they're, I mean, actually I'll read whatever's like the very highest bid, I suppose, but pretty much if you want the American bid is our largest audience, so I'll probably be reading that. But of course we also have sponsorships available. If you go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise, you can find out more information about sponsoring a particular current up-and-coming episode or past episode. But right now we have a Gypsy Girl Press, which has our leaderboard, and that's at gypsygirlpress.com, and that is where you can find John Peters' multitude of projects that are updating, and there's a lot of things for people to check out there. The 40 Winks is actually one that I is pretty interesting, so you can check that out at gypsygirlpress.com. And on our tower advertisement, we have Amia, which is actually part of the Rampage Network community, and that's at AmiaChronicles.com, I believe. AmiaChronicles.com. As far as I recall, it's based off of a role play that they've done. And so that's pretty fun. And, well, on the banner ad for each individual post, it's also Gypsy Girl Press, so doubly check that out. Thanks very much to our advertisers for this show. I do know one thing that we've got. We've got another submission for the Holiday Cooking Collaboration Project that I've been attempting to put together for the longest time. Just a couple of pages from The World According to Geek. And so I'll save those and put those in storage until we get enough to actually make a printable book of fun, you know, to put that out there. I got to double check on the Adventures of a Box of Cookies yet, see how people are working on that. That'd be something that could probably go into this book to fill up the pages. It could be fun. In any case, milestones. Let's take a look at the milestones that we have here. It looks like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Where is it? Oh, I gotta talk to that person yet. Oh man, I just been falling behind on my emails. Let's see here. I might
nothing happened today as a year old. Nothinghappentoday.com.
Oh, okay.
1 year old. So that's one.
I'm not sure if I mentioned this before. I might have, but Pure and Hidden Truth at pureandhiddentruth.com. A photo comic has hit its 100th page. So go ahead and check that out. There is also The World According to Geek has hit 100 strips at theworldaccordingtogeek.com. And it looks like that is pretty much it, unless I'm missing something. I'm making sure I don't skip anyone this time. Okay. Nope, it doesn't look like we have anything else. But if you have a milestone where you hit your first 100 or an annual anniversary, or if you hit your first 500 or 1,000, you know, let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And you get a little mention on this show, which can be good for all. So let's take a look at what we have here. Let's see here. Once again, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's, you know, twitter.com/webcomicbeacon. You can also go to our main website at webcomicbeacon.com and join our Facebook fan page for as long as it stays up there before they figure out that I'm not using a real name for the account, as somebody has asked me. I got a message like, so what are you? It's like, it's just a fan page I made for this podcast. So I thought I made it more clear, so I don't know. They have this policy is that you have to be a real person on Facebook, and I don't have any of the Facebook pages that I have right now from real people, except for the one where nobody's going to see it except family, I suppose. But Mark got disconnected. So hopefully everybody still hears me, and hopefully I didn't lose Mark for good, like Tanya. Since next week is March 14th. Now, the Webcomic Beacon is at least trying to have off on each second Sunday of the month, and that is also when I record the Rampage Network Community Podcast. So there will be a podcast next week, but it won't be the Webcomic Beacon, for those who don't know about that. So, I'll probably advertise this show on the 15th of next week to maximize the attention for both episode 110 and episode 111, because I believe those are both sponsored. And so when we have a sponsored show, that is when we do a larger a Project Wonderful advertisement campaign to get more attention to it. That's the point of having a sponsorship, so that we can advertise the show for the most part. Excellent and wonderful and everything. So if anybody wants to take a look at upcoming episodes, if you go to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar, you'll see what we have coming up. And like I said, next week we have off. But the week after that, we should be having Linkara from Atop the Fourth Wall, where bad comics burn, and talk about comic reviewing, not webcomic reviewing, just comic reviewing in general, since, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, reviewing is reviewing. And so that should be a fun show. We might talk about, who knows. And after that, a show on misappropriating genres, where we take a look at prejudice against genres in general. We'll probably talk about transgender comics again, and maybe a bit on furry comics if I can find a furry artist to come on and talk about. Some people set a bad example for the rest of people. So that should be an interesting show in general. If you have any information on shows that may be misappropriated or prejudiced against, for the most part, just because of a few loud comics, go ahead and send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And then on Sunday, April 4th, I got something planned. I'm not sure what will happen with that. April 11th, no show. April 18th, Niche Comics. This is going to be Tanya's show. I think she's going to be talking about, like, with skeptics and skeptic comics or the like. And April 25th, it's supposed to be Mark's show. I have a feeling we might be talking about robot webcomics or robots and webcomics. And then, of course, May 2nd or around there, whenever we have our panel at PangoCon, we'll be doing a live broadcast in person. I have no idea if I'll be able to actually make it live on the internet, but we'll be recording it live. Well, we always record live. I mean, how can you – when was the last time you recorded a previously recorded show? But that is all for right now. There's a lot more stuff that I'm planning to come up with during the summer, so it should be good times for all. So this is it for Fest of Festworks.com. Once again, we had Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. We've had Steve Orlando, and I don't have his URL specifically, but again, it's that Kickstarter project. And, of course, Pilipe, who has a blog on Octobriana at octobriana.cz.blogspot.com. Thanks to all for listening to the show. Be sure to come in, not next week, but the week after. Thanks very much for listening.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
If I had a cell phone, I'd have to plug it into a jack in the wall.
Ah, yeah.
And it would have a rotary dial.
A rotary cell phone would be pretty bitchin'.
It'd be hard to text with.
I think I'm the only person my age that likes zip tone still, so I understand I like older things.
My whole life is an exercise in nostalgia.